To wrap up Business Analyst August, we're chatting about the ever-changing nature of work. So how things have changed in our work lives, maybe notable changes in technology that have changed the way we work, and maybe even discuss some crazy processes that we've had to unwind as admins or being in the tech world. I don't know. We'll see where this conversation goes.
That is, once again, my friend and colleague, Mike Gerhold. Today, we're going to take a little time with the Admin Podcast. Once again, have a little coffee with Mike and our good friend and colleague, Jillian Bruce. And we're going to talk about business processes and tools and the ways things have changed in our world. And now back to the podcast.
But I also have Jillian on to give us a preview of the Skills for Success September, which is next month's theme, because we're also launching that as a YouTube series. So to help me do all of these fun conversational things, joining me is fellow podcast host Jillian Bruce and host of the Dev Podcast and evangelist Josh Burke. Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
So let's start with the ever-changing nature of work, which is what business analysts deal with all the time. And I'll just throw out there, I was thinking this is probably the lowest of low-hanging fruit, but how email has changed. Because I remember a time, I don't know, many, many years ago, when I used to go to the public library to check out a computer to check my email. And I didn't do that every day. Mm-hmm. And now, like, it's what? I mean, how many times you've checked your email this hour?
I feel like it checks me at this point. Like, it's just watching me. I think it's a bi-directional route now.
Well, I think it's been quite an evolution, right? Because it went from like, oh, there's this new thing called email that like you check when you can, to being like, this is the thing that runs your work life. And I literally would spend all day just in email answering things, to now I check it like once, twice a day, maybe, because everything I do now is Slack.
That's right. Yeah. For centering on an email, we've definitely drifted away there. I remember my days at my first days in the cubicle, company had like a proprietary, like it was a proto email kind of thing.
Oh, they built their own thing.
They like kind of built their own thing, and then they got Outlook. You know. But the proto email thing had the ability to cancel an email. If your recipient hadn't opened the email, you could cancel it and they'd never see it. They never knew you wrote it. Ooh. And the entire company went up in arms because they suddenly lost the ability to send their boss's angry email at midnight and delete it at 6 a.m.
Wow. I mean, yeah, because what the unsend now is like, you have to do it within like the first like 5 seconds after right. you like hit the send button or something. Interesting.
Ridiculous. I remember pre-cubicle land when I was in retail, and part of like your morning startup, you know, besides counting your drawer, was checking the company email, and you had to sign in. And then, yeah, I mean, you never responded because it was basically just one way. Like, here's a thing from corporate.
Right.
Or here's the stuff that's on sale.
Right.
Well, and I also remember, I mean, like, you used to have to physically be at a computer to read your email. Like, I remember my first few, like, you know, office jobs. Like, I had to wait until I got into the, like, you know, commute into the office, fire up the computer, and then log into the email. Whereas, I mean, gosh, like, now it's like, I just turn over, like roll over and look at my phone and like can see the email, to the point where like I now have to have a really good boundary about, nope, we're not checking work email until it's like a very normal hour to do so, because then I'll just start doing things. So it's also interesting how that has changed, right?
Yeah, I will always recommend people to have two phones, which is not a phrase I thought I would say, you know, like 5 years ago. But it's like, have a work phone, have a light phone. And that way, if you want to go walk the dog, just leave the work phone at home. Mm-hmm. Just like, just turn it off for a good couple of hours.
Yeah, I've had
been a two work phone kind of guy. Always two. That way you go on vacation. The other phone can just do whatever.
Yeah, I used to be very good about like turning off the apps or even uninstalling the work apps, because I've been a one phone person for the last 14 years. I'm starting to realize, okay, maybe it's getting too complicated to untangle the unification of both personal and work on one device. And maybe I do need to go to two devices at this point.
And, you know, speaking of that, I used to, because I was just realizing my work phone is not really a phone. Like, if you look at the call history, it's all spam and lies and misinformation. Nobody from work calls me on that phone, which is fine because almost nobody from work ever actually calls me anymore. And yet I remember, once again, going back to like my cubicle days, like I remember being told like the strategy of like when to call somebody when you had to talk to them, right? Like, you don't call at 9. Because everybody just got in the office. They haven't had their coffee yet. You don't call around noon because they're probably out to lunch. You know, all this kind of – like, you had to like strategize how you're going to have a phone conversation with people. And now it's just like, I don't talk to people. I don't – I think there might be a mental emergency if somebody calls you on the phone and they're
– Well, now your phone doesn't even work if you try to call, right? Like, half the time I try to make an outgoing call and it fails.
Oh. I mean, I just don't even answer. Yeah. Like, I got a call – the other day, I was like, oh, neat. They can leave me a voicemail. Right.
Yeah, thank goodness for transcription of voicemails, right? So you don't even have to listen to it. You can just see what's written like in the... But yeah, and gosh, Josh, you're bringing back so many vivid memories of like, remember like all of the learning how to use the complex like conference, like the phones in the office.
Oh, yeah. Conference calling.
And like... all the headsets everybody would wear and everything was like a go-to meeting or Cisco. Like, it was like a whole other culture and things that we did. I still have like a technical landline at Salesforce that I don't know how you would even access. Occasionally I get an email with a voicemail from that line that I never check. But right. That, like, I remember, like, that was a whole thing, you know, how do you, you know, record the right greeting and how do you know how to dial the extensions? And I mean, that's a whole nother thing that, like, I mean, people these days probably have no idea what that even means, right? Like, if you're starting in your professional first ever office job at this point, the concept of a physical, like, intercom, one of those big phones with all the buttons on it would just be like, what is this?
I mean, you remember those, like, UFO-looking phones that they had in conference tables, right, with speakers and all the – I remember every Monday we would have a sales call, and people from the field, you know, that's what we called it, called in, and we're all sitting around a table, and it's like, bing. John Smith has joined the call. And it's like, and then it's like either they're in their house or they're driving.
Right.
And that was cell phones, you know, mid 90s, which is like a wind turbine.
Right.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Go on mute, John.
I will confess one thing I miss about those days is when I was working at a consulting firm, we would have conference calls. And if the client was, shall we say, particularly rowdy, sometimes somebody would just put a plastic cup over the speakerphone. And all of a sudden they sounded like they're just like, and we would just all laugh at them without them knowing. So. Harder to do that.
Do that now. Everybody's on camera. It's all Zoom and Google Meets and, you know. Like, it's super easy to join. You actually have to say, like, why you're not on camera.
That's the thing, right? How quickly has that culture shifted? Like, I remember this was probably like 3 years ago. This was before the pandemic, which I think also drastically changed a lot of culture around this. But I was with a couple of friends and we were, you know, we were together, but we were still working our respective jobs for a few hours until we were doing whatever we were doing. Like, I don't know if it was weird. It was like we're doing a wine country thing or something. But, you know, we're all in our respective kind of corners doing work and I'm on video calls. And like one of the people was just on like an actual phone call most of the time. And all of us looked at like, what are you doing? Like, the expectation is not to have your camera on. And they're like, no, nobody does that. We're like, wow, that's different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been remote since well before the pandemic, and it was kind of like it used to be you were sort of expected not to be like you were distracting people if you were on camera. And then like the pandemic hits and it's like, how dare you not show your face? You're not being social. Yeah.
That changed. It was also kind of weird, too, because when you were like I was remote for I've been remote, let's see, 10 years now. And there was a period of time, too, where you had to have your camera on because it's like, are you really at your desk slaving away over a hot keyboard? Or are you because the perception of work was, you know, well, you work from home, you're just out lollygagging, walking around and enjoying the weather. while the rest of us are stuck in cubicles, slaving away over hot keyboards,
answering
emails.
Before those of us who were office-based were all forced during the pandemic to be home-based, that was absolutely the perception from those of us who had to go to the office every day. Like, oh, cool. So you just like woke up and like turned your computer on. Congratulations. Yeah, that's working. And now I'm like, actually, I prefer to go to the office because I don't have to work as hard in the office. Like, I chat with people and I'm late to meetings and I have an excuse not to go to a meeting. Like, it's so fascinating how that has shifted for me.
Yeah. Sorry, the elevator. I'm stuck. Can't make it.
Meanwhile, those of you who are back-to-back meetings at home are like, come on, people. Right. You office slackers.
Yeah. Click, click. Why are you so late? Why are you 10 seconds late?
You're getting coffee and having a chat in the hallway with so-and-so. And
I had to change rooms. It feels so weird.
I couldn't find a room.
When you work from home and people are like, oh, I had to change rooms. You're like, oh, yeah, that's weird. I know.
Like, what, to the living room? I don't understand.
I know. Why? Why did you have to change rooms? I never get kicked out of my house. Okay. So, August was great. And Jillian, you said you listened to Amber's podcast. It kind of rounded out the whole business analyst stuff. Go ahead.
It did. Because, it connected connected to what we just talked about. Mike's a very thematic. You know, there's different moments in time where work cultures shift and how you interact and get work done shifts. And being a good business analyst is all about identifying those opportunities and figuring out how you can make that happen. Well, in the Salesforce world with Salesforce technology, right? But I think what I really liked about Amber's podcast is it kind of tied it together because it's like, it's not specifically tied to maybe it's like one specific platform, but like the advent of something like Slack really gives you an opportunity to reexamine how your team works together, what is productive, what are the outcomes, how do you maybe take a step back and look at this strategically and, you know, find ways to make people more productive and happier. And so I thought it was good. Good job, Mike. I enjoyed Business Analyst Month.
Well, good. Because next month is actually a pairing or a cousin to what you're launching on the YouTube channel. So let's talk about the Skills for Success series.
Yes. Well, Mike, you are also a part of this. You know what? Small.
Like 30 seconds.
It was a great 30 seconds, I'll tell you. So we are launching a 5-part video series on YouTube all about skills for success. So we go through all of the 14 skills that are in the Salesforce Admin Skills Kit. And it's not just me talking about them. It's actually experts from an industry leaders within the field. So we have real life awesome admins, some of whom, Mike, I know you're going to have on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And we have industry leaders. And Mike, I'm sorry, I'm calling you an industry leader because, you know, that's what happens when you do this stuff for a long time.
Because I answer a lot of emails.
Probably more Slack messages now. So we have some industry leaders. We also have some people who have expertise in hiring Salesforce administrators to get that employer perspective on why these skills are important, how you develop them, how you represent them to potential employers, like what employers are looking for. And so it's a fun series. We had some fun, you know, as we do with our YouTube series, injecting some fun in it. But it's a really great way to hear from different faces and different people and perspectives and hopefully really help you get a more in-depth view into how these specific skills can help you be a successful Salesforce administrator.
Yeah, it's really cool. So as of this recording, I've already spoke with one of the guests, which was Emma Keeling, to talk about project management. So I'm trying to delve into some of the people that you had on that video series. And so what was the things that you wanted to talk about, but maybe ran out of time? Or what was other things that maybe are left on the cutting room floor, but are still really good? And so Emma and I had that chat, and I've got a few other guests coming up that will be part of the series. Of course, we can't feature all of them. You have so many people on the videos. Thankfully, there's not that many Thursdays in September.
We got lots of awesome admins out there and lots of experts in these arenas. So it was really fun to work with all of them and kind of put this together. And I'm happy that you're going to have some of them on the pod to dig a little deeper and get that full picture, that longer soundbite from the 45 seconds or whatever they are. But yeah, I mean, Mike, you talked about change management, I believe.
Yes. We talked about a lot of things.
And Josh, I also know that you were part of the series. I think you had a product management section you talked about. So
something along those lines. I think I pretended to be a product management expert, which
Josh.
I just talked about a feature for 15 minutes straight, I think was the right thing to do, right?
Wow, 15 minutes.
Oh, you'll have to tune in to find out how it all turns out.
Yeah, and I'll link to those in September too, so that the podcast can share the love with the YouTube series and back and forth.
It's like they're connected or something.
Yeah, and it's a little, I mean, we also, look, let's be honest, as you're listening to this, we're like, what, 10 or 12 days out from Dreamforce 2.
Don't say that.
So, because that's going to happen in September. But that doesn't happen to everybody. So, you know, now you have like this whole series of videos and podcasts to listen to in September as the leaves fall. And I don't know, September is that weird fall month where it's like, it doesn't really kind of, is it summer? Is it fall? Like, well, I think pumpkin spice is already at the coffee shops. So. Yeah.
Are you getting any of this heat advisory stuff over in Iowa?
Oh, yes. It's going to be melt your face hot today. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not going outside. Yeah. So, well, but who knows what winter will be? Maybe I don't know.
I mean, I'm looking forward to San Francisco summer is literally beginning right now. So it goes from normal? Like late August till like mid-November. And this is the second day in a row where it's gotten above 70 degrees and it's glorious.
Wow.
I mean, it's been foggy basically from May until a week ago consistently. So it's really nice to see the sun and get some warmth, and I'm soaking it all up.
Well, as I look over at my dashboard, it's going to hit 102 here tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. We're in the same boat, Josh, because it's not, it's just a really, in the heat advisory.
Like, yeah.
And that, because our dew point, I don't know what your dew point is, but you know, they always say in the Midwest, it's not the heat, it's the humidity.
Right.
Oh, it's both. Right.
Oh, it's both. Yeah, it's both. I think the weather report today is something like 85, but feels like death.
Wow. Well, you know, you will be here in San Francisco with me soon, and you'll enjoy this beautiful 71 degree weather with I'm looking it up, a 72% humidity, or the dew point is 61.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
And it's humid for us. It's abnormally humid, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, but Jillian, I bet Josh's dew point is probably the same as mine. Like, we're in the 80s, 80 degrees. Like, I woke up this morning, literally all the windows in my house were wet because the dew point and the temperature were like 1 or 2 degrees apart.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the time of year we're reminded that Chicago was built on a swamp. For sure.
And full of concrete.
Yep.
Come on out to the dunes of San Francisco. It's glorious.
And then when you're not in Chicago, and this is a real thing, you can look it up. I don't know if I'm going to say it right, but it's it's evaporation or something. Okay. It's literally the fact that Iowa and some neighboring states, but really Iowa, has so much corn with so much moisture. No that way. It raises the humidity level because as it heats up, the corn evaporates. Look at it. It's all over the Weather Channel. And you can smell it too. Like when you walk outside, it smells like corn.
In like a good way?
Very good way. Good. Yes.
Yeah, no, I can see that one falling either way. Yeah.
Right, okay. Right. Okay. No, this is a very good like corn on the cob on the grill. You're like, ooh, let's go get some corn from the farmer's market.
Oh, wow. Speaking tangent, because we like talking about food. I made the most epic elote salad a week ago. Elote is that Mexican street corn. Basically, you know, they grill it and they put a bunch of like aioli on it and deliciousness.
I've wanted to do that.
Cotija cheese. I made a grilled corn elote salad that I like, I still think about. I think I might have to make it again tonight. It's basically you grill the corn, you put a bunch of like tomatoes and avocado and like cheese and deliciousness. You mix it together. Holy moly. It's, I mean, I Damon and I ate like the entire bowl.
The whole thing. Sitting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That. So you kind of lived like a Midwesterner because I will confess that it is sweet corn season right now. It's almost a tail end. Like I really need to go to the farmer's market, but we've had sweet corn for dinner.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Same as the elote salad, just on the cob with butter on your cheeks. So look at that. Well, there we go. That's how we're going to end it. Butter on our cheeks, or mine at least, anyway.
Butter makes everything better, right?
Yeah.
Real good ingredient. Yeah. Real good butter. So if by chance, you enjoyed this episode, maybe pick a different one and then share that with one person. Because that would be awesome. So here's how you do it. If you're listening on iTunes, all you got to do is just tap the dots. There's three little dots. You choose share episode, and you can post it to social. You can text it to a friend. Maybe you text an elote corn salad recipe. We'd love that.
And that's our show. Now, if you want to learn more about the Admin Podcast and all things admin, head on over to admin.salesforce.com. And for more about this show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and have links to your favorite podcast service. Thanks again, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.